The Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the Kohen Gadol would give a offer a tefillah inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As he was leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would say a tefillah. And the holiest day of the year, the most important day of the year, and his tefillah, like you can imagine, on such a day when you're so elevated, that's the time to daven, right? That's the best time. But it had to be short. Why did it have to be short? Because the people outside were waiting for him to come out to see that all the service, everything that was done in there was done correctly. And they'd be scared if he stayed there too long, then maybe he died inside. So he had to keep it short. Okay, so if you have to, you have a choice, you have like a one opportunity, you know, to put in a request on the holiest day of the year. This is going to be the tefillah. But it has to be kept short, so obviously you plan beforehand, right? And you think about every word, how you're going to say it, how you're going to ask it, what's going to be the tone, the whole thing. You have to be very, very careful, right? So you have to make a compact list. So what would you think he would daven about? World peace, you know, Iran shouldn't cause problems for Israel. What's going to be with this? What's going to be with that? Children, health, big stuff. You just have to ask it short. Okay. But if you take a look at his tefillah, you're astonished. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, 53b, the Gemara says, "My matzli, what would he daven?" Four things. One is that there should be rain and hot weather. Two, the rulers shouldn't pass from the tribe of Yehuda outside. Three, the people in Bnei Yisrael shouldn't need to get parnasa from each other. They should be able to sustain themselves. And four, and here's the first glance, strangest one, that the prayers of those of the travelers, when they pray and they ask, there shouldn't be any more rain, Hashem, you shouldn't listen to them. Okay, so now let's take a step back for a moment and think about this. Here you have, let's make a picture, right? You have a guy traveling on the road and it starts to rain. He forgot to bring his umbrella. Nebuch. Very sad. And it's getting muddy and he's getting his feet wet and dirty. And you know, he has another 20 minutes till he gets to his house. And he says he can't take it anymore and he calls Hashem, Hashem, please stop with this rain. On the other hand, you have all the farmers all over Israel davening to Hashem, please let it rain. You know, it wasn't like nowadays that we have navigation and we could bring water from this country and that. If it didn't rain, there wasn't food. They would starve. So all the farmers, the entire country is davening to Hashem, please let it rain, please let it rain. And this guy forgot his umbrella, and we're talking about a regular guy. We're not talking about like this big tzaddik that, is like this with Hashem. Stam guy that's walking on the street. He's upset that it's raining, and he calls out to Hashem, please, let it stop raining. And that is what the Kohen Gadol davened for in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom Kippur, that Hashem shouldn't listen to that guy's tefillah. What's the deal? You really think Hashem was going to listen to his tefillah? I wouldn't have thought so. Another question. The Gemara talks about in Makos, the Mishnah, says that if someone accidentally murders someone, they have to run to one of the cities of refuge, the Ari Miklat. How does someone get free from the Ari Miklat? You have to wait for the Kohen Gadol to die. Once the Kohen Gadol dies, everyone goes free. Okay? So you can only imagine. Everyone, all day long, was hoping that the Kohen Gadol dies. And no one would want that in their life, that everyone wants you to die. Right? So the mother of the Kohen Gadol had a good idea. How am I going to get all the inhabitants of the city of refuge not to want my son to die? I know, I'm going to bake them brownies. And every day I'm going to go ahead and give them fresh cookies and brownies and let them be all happy that I'm giving them the food, and then they're not going to want to leave. Now, again, let's evaluate that. Here you have a guy who has a business. He has a wife, he has a family, he has parents, he has siblings, he has a whole entire community outside of the city of refuge. All he wants is to be able to go back home. Right? Even if his wife doesn't make brownies, I could assume that he wants to go back home to his family. The fact that the mother of the Kohen Gadol brought him a treat here and there is going to hold the people back from davening? not to leave the Eir Mikla? What's that about? And that's what they used to do. Question number three. The Pasuk says in the Megillah of Yonah that Yonah was thrown into a fish. A fish swallowed up Yonah. And in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, it talks about Yonah being inside the Me'ei Hadad, the inside of the dag, that's masculine. The fish was a masculine fish. Inside the dag, Shlosha Yamim, Shlosha Leilot. 3 days and three nights. Then, the next Pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, says that Yonah was in the Me'ei Hadagah, the feminine fish, and over there, he davened to Hashem to let him out. So Rashi picks up on this difference. One pasuk says the fish was masculine. The next pasuk says the fish was feminine. What's the deal? So Rashi brings the Chazal that the first fish spit out Yonah, and then Yonah went into fish number two. Fish number two was feminine. Inside fish number two were many other fishes. It was a woman, so she gave birth to other fish, and they were inside him. Inside fish number two, it was a little bit crowded, because there are a lot of things inside there. So on that fish came along Yonah and davened away, "Get me out, Hashem," and Hashem took him out. Now, what was going on in fish number one? I mean, none of us ever experienced that. But no matter how big fish number one was, yes, there were no other babies inside fish number one, because it was a male. So no matter how big it was, and no matter how many couches were inside, I mean, would you want to stay inside a fish? Now, you also davened to get out of there. So what was the deal that he had to come out of fish number one, the masculine one, into fish number two, the feminine one, and only then could he daven to come out? So the answer is in this week's parsha to all these questions. The pasuk says in this week's parsha, Perek Beis, Pasuk of Gimel, Vayehi bayamim harabim ahem, Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, and Paro died. Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael min Avodah, Vayzaku, and Bnei Yisrael couldn't take it anymore from all the hard work, and they screamed out to Hashem, Batal Shavasam Elokim min Avodah, and the tefillah actually reached Hashem min Avodah, from the difficult work that they had. Explains the Medrash. What's this about? What's going on over here? The Paro died. It was hard work. And through the work, they davened to Hashem. Explains the Medrash that the Paro didn't really die. But rather, Paro got the disease called Tsaras. Leprosy. Some translate this up, but leprosy. Tsaras. And Paro's advisors, the doctors, said, "How are you going to get rid of the Tsaras?" So they said, "Okay, this is how you do it. You have to kill 150 babies, Jewish babies, of course, at night, 150 babies by day, and through the 300 daily shechtings of these babies, you take the blood, you rinse yourself in the blood, and that will cleanse your body, will take away all the tzaras." And this happened day after day after day after day. To a certain point, the Jewish people said, "We can't take this anymore. 300 babies a day being killed, we can't take this anymore. We can't deal with it." And they scream to Hashem, "Hashem, enough! Enough already! Save us!" And it worked. That tefillah ended up going all the way to Hashem. What do you see? You see from here a very important yesod in tefillah. We always daven and we want our tefillahs to be answered. So here is the key to getting your tefillahs answered. And that is, you have to really, really, really mean it. I need it now. I'm not davening that in 20 years from now I should have a good life. I'm not davening that, you know, when I get into shiduchim and I start dating, then I should find someone. You daven for that also. But that type of tefillah is very different than right now I need this. Right now I need to go buy something and I need money. Now, Hashem, I need money right now. That tefillah, when you're pressured, when you feel it, and right now this is what I need, that type of tefillah breaks the heavens, goes straight up to Hashem, and works. So let's go through the different cases that we just had. Yom Kippur. We said that the whole world is davening that there should be rain. Why did they need rain? They need rain this minute. They didn't need rain this minute. The crops are growing. They just knew that if it would stop raining right now, so in a month from now, 2 months from now, the crops are all going to die. It's not going to work out. But the guy that was walking down the street, his feet were getting muddy now. And right now, he was catching a cold. And right now, the rain was bothering him. So right now, he said, Hashem, stop! I need it now! That tefillah surpasses all the other thousands of people that were davening that we need rain so that later on we can also have food. They didn't feel the pressure right now. Right now they had the food. Right now life was good. It's just that they knew scientifically from previous years, from the farmer passed down to the next farmer, that if you don't have rain during this month, you're not going to have rain at the end of the season. But it wasn't right now a pressure. So the other guy that was traveling, he was, his tefillah was much better and much stronger, had the potential to be heard in a much greater way than anyone else. Well, the next case, the Ir Miklat. The Ir Miklat, of course everyone wanted to get out of the Ir Miklat. They hated being in that city of refuge. They just wanted to go home to the wife, their children, into the business, into the community. That's where they wanted to go. But the second they got that cookie, the second they got the brownie from the mother, no. Look, I could wait a day. Look about tomorrow. But today's a good... Smell the chocolate chips. And he's saying it's like, okay, well, of course I want to get out of here. But in a couple hours maybe. It wasn't as pressing anymore. She knew the secret of tefillah. The mother of the Kohen Gadol knew that if you need, in order to get your tefillah answered, you got to feel it now. So I'm just going to delay it a little more. Make them feel maybe some gratitude to me so it's a little uneasy to dive in. They want to eat it, they'll go home after the food, just a little bit more to push them off a touch. Of course they wanted to leave, but getting pushed off a touch, that was going to subdue the chances of their tefillahs being answered. Yonah, inside the grand masculine fish. Life was good there. It wasn't that good. Of course he wanted to be home, but it wasn't so bad. He could go on trips in there. He could walk around. He wanted to be home, but it wasn't so bad. So he was in there for 3 days, 3 nights. He wasn't davening. And Hashem said, well, I want you under the daven. That's the whole point of this thing. I didn't put him in there to relax. So he spit him out into the feminine fish. In the daga. Inside that fish, it was very crowded and cramped. He's like, I gotta get out of here. Take me out of here. I can't stand it now. I need to get out now. Not another second, not a minute, not an out, nothing. Out! And all of a sudden Hashem listened and the tefillah was answered. So we see that any time we feel the pressure right now, our tefillah could go very far. And unfortunately, or fortunately, right, could look at it in two ways, we have a lot of bracha in our lives. Baruch Hashem, we're far, far more capable, we have far more bracha than a lot of other people. So a lot of us, especially in yeshiva, we don't feel like, now, you know, I got a statement, this, again. But there are things. There are things. I need to understand this now. I need to understand this now. I want to understand it now. But depending on our value system, depending on what we think is important, there are a lot of things going on right now that we need. Let's say you don't feel well. Right now, I don't want to wait anymore. I want to feel better now. We have to feel that pressure. And for that thing that we feel the pressure for, once we daven for it, well, Tal Shabbat Summit goes straight up to Hashem. A few weeks ago, one of the Rebbeim told me this story in Eishet Torah. There were four Rebbeim from Eishet Torah down by the Kotel, waiting for a taxi. It was pouring. Four Rebbeim, 1.5 umbrellas. You know, the umbrellas in Israel, you use it after 5 seconds. Okay, you all know. So 1.5 umbrellas, four Rebbeim. They're waiting for the, and it's pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And it wasn't, there were no taxis coming because of the work they're doing on the top by the Rova, so it was close, it was bad news. Okay? So one of the people said, this is getting really bad. I was going to go wait for the bus. And one of the other Rebbeim said, you know, why don't we just daven? Why don't we say Perek of Tehillim? They were out there for a while. Okay? So they said, okay, you said a Perek of Tehillim. 30 seconds later, the taxi came straight down to pick them up and take them home. That's the way it works. Try it, guys. When you're feeling it, don't get all nervous, don't get shut down. Go ahead and let it rip.
Daven. Daven is Hashem. Now. This is what I need now. The Tal Shabbos sons. That's what the pasuk over here is coming to teach us. Min avodah. You're feeling it. When you feel it, then you go free. Okay. Bez Hashem. Should be able to put this into our tefillah, and all our tefillahs should be answered. Letova, Shavua Tov.